Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fine edition of the Falcoholics Postgame Podcast. My name is Corey Woodruff. Thanks for stopping by. The Falcons are terrible, unfortunately. That seems to be the case, and Falcondom now is the team stands at a very unsatisfying 4-8 after quite a tumultuous year with injuries, poor coaching, even worse play, and lots of annoying losses, which have piled up. The team has lost 4 straight, and they're trying to figure out exactly what's going on, what's working, what's not working, and really what in the world they're going to do as the last 4 games of the year begin to enter as we get into December. So I'm joined by no stranger to the show. He's a good friend of mine, a wonderful person to hear from with anything Falcons related, and the biggest Jack Crawford fan out there. His name is Evan Birchfield, and he's joining us today. Evan, thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate you having me on, Corey.
Yeah, we are always happy to have Evan on the show, and we'll have a special little bit of news about Evan when we get done recording this one. But, you know, let's just get into this Baltimore game as much as we can. You know, what to you, Evan, did you see about this game that really kind of showed exactly where this team is right now?
I mean, everything was just bad, like everything. The offensive line play was bad. The Falcons run game was bad. Julio Jones was bad. Maybe not all his fault, but I mean, 2 receptions for 18 yards is not normally the production you get from Julio Jones. Mohamed Sanu had his first ever incompletion, pass incompletion. So that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of the difficult part of where we are right now is that this team is in a very languished place. They've just not exactly been able to overcome a lot of these injuries, and they've really kind of compiled it down with some really poor defensive play. And the offense really was good for half a season, and then in the month of November, they kind of began to taper out a little bit after that Washington game. And they've really just not been great, honestly, in the last couple of games. And it's been really kind of disconcerting to see them take such a sizable step back offensively after such a promising stretch there in September, October, and into that Washington game. But, you know, I think right now this is just a team that doesn't really have a spark. They don't really have just any sort of momentum going for them. And when you're working with little momentum, you're going to have little success. They are coming out each week very flat, and they're not really getting any explosive plays going. They're really not getting any sort of big show-stopping defensive plays going, even though, ironically, against Baltimore, they had one with a fumble recovery with Vic Beasley for a touchdown with Grady Jarrett on the sack. But there's just so few far in between highlight plays. You may get one a game, which is just not going to win you anything. I mean, they're not in a good place right now. It's really kind of tough to watch, but you know, let's just look at things offensively. I mean, what to you stood out against Baltimore that really showed why they were not able to move the ball well?
Like I said earlier, the run game has just been horrible. The last 2 weeks, Tevin Coleman's had 14 carries for 14 yards. I mean, that's not at all what you want from your starting running back with Devontae Freeman being out. Then, you know, Smith, you know, he had a decent game, 7 carries, 22 yards. But, you know, if you're not able to run the ball, you're forcing Matt Ryan to try and pass. And then on top of that, the time of possession was heavily in the Ravens' favor. They just kept the Falcons off the offense off the field. So, I mean, the offense really couldn't do anything, to be honest. And then on top of that, you know, the offensive line's having its troubles. They couldn't get Julio Jones going against the Ravens, probably one of the better passing defenses for the Ravens in the league. So, yeah, it's not a whole lot to look at on offense, but it pretty much sums up the overall statistics of the game. They were bad. Everything was bad.
It was not ideal. I think that's just one of the difficult things about watching this offense right now is just all the life. And Matt Ryan's still playing really well, and I think he just wasn't able to connect with anybody because the pass rush was just in his face so consistently. I mean, And Sarkisian really wasn't able to draw a whole lot up because he was kind of trying to scheme around the just awful offensive line play, because whatever Baltimore was doing, I mean, they were eating them alive. And it's just, you know, and again, that's a great defensive line, but at the same time, it's like you should be playing better against even the best competition. You've still got to be able to get some yards downfield. I mean, that was the least amount of yards Matt Ryan has thrown for in over 6 years. And that is an alarming statistic. And it just, I don't know. They just got just absolutely blasted by whatever Baltimore was doing defensively. I mean, Julio Jones, they just had the coverage they ran on him consistently kept him out from doing really anything effective. It was a weird game. I mean, Austin Hooper, like you said, was really the only person who really, like, did anything consistently. And I don't exactly know what this team needs to do that is going to be, you know, effective for the future. But at least for, like, December. And I'm kind of optimistic for the long-term future. But I would say for now, it just doesn't look good. But at the same time, you know, they've got basically 9 months to figure it out, which they will, and we all know they will once everybody gets healthy. But yeah, right now, man, things are kind of dull. Things are not really exciting. They're really depressing, and I just wish that things were turning up, but they're not, and that's just kind of how they are. But let's go to defense, and tell me a little bit about what you saw defensively that just was not working.
We couldn't stop the run. Lamar Jackson ran more than he threw the ball, and he was effective running the ball. He had pretty much the stat line of a running back, 17 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, we honestly, you know, I don't know if it's more of Jackson or the Falcons' pass defense, but he didn't throw the ball that well, but we couldn't stop him from running the ball. Plus, you had Gus Edwards get 21 carries, 82 yards. Like, and then, you know, all of their, aside from those two, they had Dixon and Montgomery both run, and they were averaging over 4 yards a carry. So you can't, you know, if you can't stop the run, you know, you're pretty much done.
No, that's exactly right. Like, if you can't do anything against running backs, then they're going to run on you because they have a goal. You have a goal. Their goal is to run. Your goal is to stop them. And if they're doing their job well, that means you're not doing your job well. And as obvious as that sounds, that's the situation the team is in. They can't stop the run. And the teams have just been pounding the rock on this defense all year long. And it just doesn't ever feel like it. Even the game where they slowed Saquon Barkley down, even when they stopped the run, the passing game explodes and the secondary falls apart. This is just a fundamentally flawed defense that just does not have any of its main guys in there. Now, we have Deion Jones back, and that's really encouraging. But at the same time, it's like, you know, he can only do so much right now as he's beginning to get healthy. And it's just like, I don't know exactly what this team needs to do in the interim that's potential with the roster at hand. You know, like right now with Deion in there, they really, and they don't have Derek Shelby, but now it's like they're only missing the safeties. So maybe the defense will begin to look a bit better, hopefully, but this still might mean that they've got to do some, you know, a little bit of retooling here and there and trying to get a couple of spots, you know, fixed up and fixed out. And I don't know. I had a lot more hope for this defense than I do right now. I think right now I'm a little bit more reserved if they don't really make some major adjustments, because if they do again what they did last offseason, which is just really not add anybody big to the defense, especially in the trenches, I think it'll be a major mistake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're trying.
Go ahead. Sorry. I think also, you know, seeing Deion Jones back in his first game since week one, and then he leads the team in tackles with 15. You know, I'm pretty sure he's not 100%, but he's probably like 80% overall health. But even then, he's still the best player on defense, and it's like not even close. I mean, Grady Jarrett, obviously, but, you know, Deion Jones, it's like you see what the defense has been missing all year, like a playmaker. We have, you know, I don't want to throw everybody under the bus. Like, nobody on defense without Deion Jones is good. But, you know, it's one of the worst defenses in the league, maybe the worst. So when you get somebody like Deion Jones added, like, one man's not going to make your defense great unless it's like Khalil Mack or something. But it still makes everybody a little bit better. But, you know, still missing Keanu Neal and Rico is, you know, it makes me excited for next year. But the defense still isn't good.
Yeah, that's just kind of where they are right now. It's just like, it's hard to really even muster up a whole lot of thought for exactly what they're going to do positively. And again, like, they've got a month. Like, they still have time to get things rectified. But at the same time, it's like, if they don't start getting rectified, then they basically flamed out. And this would be the worst finish by far for a Dan Quinn team. And, you know, that 15 team rallied at the end. Like, they really gave – they put some fight up. Because they beat Carolina. They gave them their only loss of the season. And that was a Super Bowl team. They, you know, beat Jacksonville on the road, which was a very encouraging sign. And, you know, they couldn't beat the Saints at the end of the year that, you know, when that was going on. But you still saw some glimmers that, hey, maybe there are some fighters here. And I want to see that with this team over the last month. Like, don't even worry about the draft positioning. Like, don't just go out there and do your best. And if you're doing your best, that's all any of us can ask for right now. And if you're not doing your best, then it shows, like, that you don't care. And if you don't care, that's okay. I mean, you better care next year because, you know, you'll be – and you definitely will. But it also means people don't need to watch this. Like, there's no reason to tune in anymore. Like, this becomes non-essential television. And people don't need to go to games. They don't need to do anything. People don't need to, you know, give this team their attention on Sunday if the team is not going to give the attention on Sunday. Dan Quinn brought up something interesting in the press conference I think we should mention, talking about, you know, what a lot of people may, you know, feel that this team isn't putting forth the effort. And he says that he feels like the effort is there, that he feels like they're playing hard, they're just not getting results. And I think that brings up that maybe this team really is just so fundamentally flawed right now that as hard as they try, they just cannot connect. It's just like a damp match. They can't strike fire with it. And as many times as they try to get this little flame going, they just can't seem to do it. And if that's going on, that's really going to begin to wear and tear at this team as the last season begins to fold. And you just kind of hope that eventually they figure it out. And, you know, they've got Green Bay on Sunday. That's a team they historically have done really well against under Dan Quinn. And that team just fired Mike McCarthy. You know, it's like, they're kind of going through a coaching change. Sometimes that gives the team a bit of a bump, but this is the second team the Falcons have faced this year where they are going against a new coach, the team that's changed out a major coach in the season. And I just wonder, like, maybe that will be a thing that gets them going. They're on the road in Green Bay. It's going to be a hostile environment. Green Bay is not very good this year, but they're also a team that, you know, definitely is, you always feel good if you get a win against the Packers, no matter how good or bad they are. That's a legacy program. That win always makes you feel good. Like, hey, we beat the Packers. We beat Aaron Rodgers. That means something. So I wonder if maybe if they can get a win Sunday, it'll give them a bit of optimism. It'll give them a bit of a spark of hope that, hey, we're still a good football team. You know, we're not right now, but if we really boil it down, we can still be really good if we can just band together and do what we need to do. You know, I don't know where this is going. I mean, I don't know what they're going to look like over the next 4 weeks. It's going to be interesting to watch. Like, we're going to learn a lot. And if they continue to look really uninspired, I think it does put some pressure on this coaching staff to really take a hard look at not just the roster, but themselves in the offseason and really try to figure out once and for all, what are we not good at? You know, like, what have we not been good at for a while? And they have not been bullies in the trenches. And that's what Dan Quinn wants. He has talked about setting that tone and being a team that's, you know, that's fast and physical. But I think they need to get tough. I think they really need to work on getting guys in here that definitely meet the culture that the team wants to establish, but can also go out there and be a bully on game day. That's what Seattle had. Seattle had a lot of guys on that defense that would just hit you and not think a thing about it. And that's what the Ravens defense is. It's just a lot of guys that will just go out there and play 110% and absolutely rock you on both lines of scrimmage. And that's what it takes to win ball games in the NFL right now. I know people talk about this electric play calling, and that's important, and it scores you a lot of points, but the teams that win championships are nasty up front. Like, you look at that Philly team last year and all the talent that they had. Tom Brady couldn't do anything because he was being pass rushed. And really in that 16 year, the Falcons began to develop that kind of a chemistry up front where they just had a bunch of guys who would really begin to get that consistent pass rush. And the team has just not had a consistent pass rush in 2 years. Like, the defense last year began to get somewhat of one, but the first half of the year, you really kind of struggled to find one. Like, they've not had a great pass rush the entire time Dan Quinn's been here. And I know that is not a fun thing for anyone to hear, but they've got to work on making that better. And I think they can, and I have confidence that they will, and trust that they will, and hope that they will. But right now, it's just you're beginning to see what happens when you're not consistently investing in the trenches. And that is that needs to be a every year mentality of getting new talent in and always making sure that that is one of the strengths of your roster. Because right now, it's an obvious weakness for the team on both sides of the ball. Offensive line, they really have let that group go stagnant over the last few years, and they really are trying to rely on a lot of homegrown talent. And Brandon Fusco was doing a pretty good job, but then he gets put on IR, and it's like, well, and that's another thing. It's hard to avoid, and you have to deal with that the best you can. But they had the reserves they needed, but just those reserves over a long period of time are just not going to give them what they need. And I think Wes and Ben are good players to have behind you when you need them, but they're not long-term starters. And they're just finding themselves right now in a really difficult position because the team is running with a lot of backups. They're running with a lot of guys who were not in their original plan, and they're having to try to coach around that. And it's really highlighted a lot of the parts of the roster that don't work. So I don't know what this team is, and I really have hope that there'll be something a lot better and a lot different next year. But, you know, I think you just have to take it for what it is and go a day at a time. So, Evan, what's your take on the team as a whole? Like, where do you think they are, and where do you think they're going?
I think the main issue is it starts from the top. Matt Ryan's the leader, obviously. You're missing some leaders who were injured. Deion Jones just returned. He's one of your leaders on defense. But Matt Ryan has been with the team long enough to where he hasn't felt real defeat, especially this early in a season, since, what, 2013 or something? Like, it's been a while. You know, if the even as bad as people liked bashing last year, we made the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, that was bad to us. Now it's like, here we are, was it week 14 this week? And everything feels, I mean, everything's felt completely over for weeks. But right now, after last week's, just we got hit in the mouth. And it's like, we're not completely getting back up. It's like we're slowly kind of getting back up. The team just feels defeated. I don't know how else to put it. It's just, it's been a while since I've felt like that defeat feeling as the team. Like, I, you know, going into Green Bay, even with all their problems going on, you know, firing their head coach, I still feel like we're the underdogs in that game. I don't remember having a feeling like that where it's like you kind of just already know, like, you know, aside from going into Green Bay and playing outdoors, it's just you still have Aaron Rodgers and they still have Aaron Jones. I don't know how they're going to stop Aaron Jones. And then if they somehow do, I don't know how they're going to stop Aaron Rodgers. And then you pretty much come down to, will they be able to run the ball? We still don't have Devontae Freeman. You really don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but I think this year really should wake people up and go, you know what, Devontae Freeman is pretty damn good. Because compared to the past, you know, there were people who were like, oh, we should get rid of Freeman. We shouldn't sign him. We should keep Coleman. You're seeing what, I mean, I don't want to completely throw it on Coleman. He's a great complimentary back, but you're kind of seeing what you wanted to see, you know, like what would this offense look like with Coleman as a running back? He's fun, but he's not who you need out there going straight up the middle. You know, he's a change of pace back. He's a great compliment to when Devontae's playing. I'm actually excited about Ito Smith. I wish they would run him more. He had one more carry this past weekend, and he actually had like a much better game than Tevin Coleman. But they haven't committed to him each week. I'd love them to just say, you know what, the season's pretty much done. Let's see what Ito Smith can do, and just run him like 20 times a game. See what happens, because he reminds me of a lot of Devontae Freeman, to where he's going to fight for those extra yards and you don't have to run him, you know, sweeps outside or something like that. So I wish they'd do that more. You know, and then, you know, receivers or whatever. Ridley's been dropping some passes, which coming out of college was a bit of a concern. And now it's kind of happening. So it's kind of, that kind of makes me nervous. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to be like, hey, stay optimistic and stuff, because the season, I'm pretty sure playoff chances are pretty much over. It's probably like 1% or something. But even if we did, do you really want to see this team playing against a playoff team in on national TV? You know, I wouldn't expect them to go very far. But Oh no, at this point I kind of feel like I'm like how the Falcons players are acting. I'm just kind of like, let's just get this over with.
Yeah, I think that may be the most obvious reality of it is like maybe they really are just kind of like, I just, with the season, we're not going anywhere. We know that we have underperformed dramatically. We know that a lot of this is out of our control. We know some of this has been in our control. There are times we've just not been able to make that play, make that catch, get that stop, get that sack, you know, cover the receiver the way we should have, like get the guy stopped on the punt return like we should. Like, there's just so much this year that's not gone well. And I don't know what you're supposed to do when it just keeps happening and happening and happening. It just shows that your team is fundamentally flawed. You can fix that in an offseason. You can fix that by getting healthy. So the Falcons have an opportunity, many opportunities to get out of this. It's just a matter right now of what they need to do to be able to do that. Absolutely. So, you know, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see how it goes. I'm very curious about how the team will address the offseason and how they're going to keep things going from there. Evan, I want to kind of allow you to have a second to give me your expertise. I want to pivot to fantasy football just for a little bit. And I want you to tell people, let's just not think about the Falcons just for a little bit. Tell people who they need to be watching as the end of the year happens. Like, if they're trying to win their league, play the waiver wire, they've got guys on their bench, they're trying to decide who to play. Who are like some of the big names you think that are going to have some big finishes here in the NFL?
Just overall non-Falcons. I mean, I do like a guy like Aaron Jones, who I was speaking about. He's got a pretty good schedule. For most leagues, the playoffs actually will start. You know, this season's not technically over because this is Monday night, but by the time you listen to this, this coming week is usually when people's first round of the playoffs begin. So you don't want to really get too fancy with your who you're starting. You kind of want to stick with what you got. But at the same time, taking a little risk. I like a guy like Josh Reynolds, who's still available in some decent leagues. He pretty much took over the slot spot for what Cooper Kupp would play for the Rams, and he's going to get some targets. The other thing is you got to keep an eye on players. If you have players for like the Rams or Chiefs or something similar, because they might slow them down a little bit. Like, I've got Todd Gurley on the team, and I'm kind of worried if I do make, like, the championship, which is typically week 16, the Rams might not be forcing him to play. So a lot of the times, if you have one of these big running backs like Gurley or, not Kareem Hunt anymore. You have Gurley or – I'm trying to think of a name because Kamara's backups. Ingram technically, but you want to get your handcuffs now, because if for some reason these teams bench these running backs later on, you know, you want to have, for example, like I was saying, Gurley, you want to have Malcolm Brown to where you can just plug him in just in case, because if for some reason the Rams are like, you know what, we got this bye week secured, we're not going to play Todd Gurley in week 16, which totally makes sense in the real world, but for your fantasy team, you know, you don't want to be screwed and be like, oh, now I'm out of a running back. Have Malcolm Brown, because he'll be a top 15 play that week. So, yeah, it just depends. And you want to stick with, like I said, you want to stick with what's gotten you there. Don't get crazy cute in the playoffs.
Well, you know what, folks? You get that for free. The guru has spoken. Take his words. Heed his advice. You know... I don't even keep up with it anymore. I'm so bad about fantasy football, but Evan knows his stuff. You need to always listen to him when he's talking. You know, before we get out of here, man, talk to me a little bit about a couple of things you want to see the Falcons improve on. Like, if you just want to see some short-term changes, like what would be exemplary for you for the team to really key in on as things are kind of winding down?
I was saying it earlier. I'd like to see him run more Ito Smith. I mean, why not? Coleman has not worked out the past few weeks. I mean, in the Saints game, Matt Ryan led the team in rushing. That pretty much explains how bad it's been. Run Ito Smith. I mean, why not? Aside from that, there's really not like anything to look forward to, because it's basically the same old stuff every week, it seems like. If they go into Green Bay and win, like, that makes you feel better, I guess, but it's still like, this team is weird. Like, they should have you know, been more competitive against the Browns, but they weren't. They somehow beat the Redskins, which was kind of shocking. You know, and then you get destroyed by the Ravens pretty much. Like, the score doesn't completely indicate it, but they got punched in the mouth against the Ravens. I don't know. I just you'd like to see the team try. I guess that's what I'll close on. You don't want to see them just go out there and go through it, because most of the players who, you know, they say like, oh, they're not trying. Some of these guys, probably a good amount of them, won't be on the team next year. So, you know, these guys are still playing for a job, whether it's with the Falcons or elsewhere. So, you know, definitely they need to try.
Yeah, I think that's what we all just kind of want to see them do their best. But if they can't really muster quite their best, then do at least somewhat of your best. You know, be competitive. Just go out there and play for pride. And you don't want to get hurt. I get that. You know, I understand. But they're playing a streak of teams in December that is they're really not very good. Like, it's going to be kind of a battle of the bads on the way out. But Green Bay's struggling. Carolina has really taken a sharp turn towards the worst in the last part of the year after a promising start. Arizona is really not very good at all. And then obviously Tampa Bay is not very good. So they've got an opportunity to get some wins here if that's what they really want to focus on. So it's really going to be a month of growing. It's going to be a month of really trying to figure out what this team is and where they're going and just going from there. But that's where we're going to go from here. We'll be here to talk about all of it. We will do our best to tell you everything you need to know. And I want to thank Evan for coming on. And Evan, is breaking some news here as a new member of our Falcoholic family, and we are happy to have him and excited to get him into the fold and have him contribute in really cool ways. So, Evan, welcome aboard to
thank you.
the good ship Falcoholic, and we are very happy to have you on board. Evan, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and everything you're working on at the moment.
You can find me on Twitter at Evan Birchfield, and then that's pretty much it. I also run the Jack Crawford's like official Facebook page. So if you want to see Jack Crawford stuff, I guess you could follow that. And then, you know, I still got some ideas on my first articles on the Falcoholic. So pretty much just stay tuned.
Yes, and he does wonderful work. Is a wonderful.
Oh, and then if you ever need fantasy football advice, just ask
yes.
me.
Yes, he's a guru. He is. He.
I'm
he
happy to help.
Stuff, and if I kept up with it, he would be the first person I'd ask. Evan, thank you so much for coming on. And of course, you can find me on social media at CoreyWoodruff47, and you can follow along with the podcast over at The Falcoholic. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review, and of course, listen to our flagship show with Gina Thomas and David Walker, DW. They always do a wonderful job at the middle of the week to get you prepared for the week ahead and talk about things that have come. And, you know, be sure to subscribe on all the possibilities we have for our audio content and read The Falcoholic. Connect with us on social media. You know, Dave, of course, runs the Twitter at The Falcoholic. If you're not following that, it's a must. And watch for our writers and our great coverage, and just, you know, plug in wherever you can, because we are always happy and thankful to have you joining in with us and the conversation and the community, because hey, if we don't have each other during a time like this, then we don't have much at all. So thank you guys so much for listening. It's always a pleasure to have you tune in, and we'll be back next week to talk about whatever happens at Lambeau. So hopefully it's a happier conversation than we normally have, but you know, considering how things go, we'll just take it a week at a time, because right now it's getting late into the year and we know where this team is going, and it's nowhere good, but maybe we'll have a couple of wins here or there to celebrate. So thank you guys so much for listening. It's been Corey Woodruff, and I am signing out. You guys have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.